It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 6th. I'm Ben Johnson. This week, Facebook's safety team announced new tools to stop the spread of revenge porn on Facebook, Facebook Messenger, and Instagram. Revenge porn, or explicit images and video that gets shared without permission of the people on camera, is an issue for lots of online platforms. Users can now report images, which Facebook employees will review and remove, and sometimes suspend the accounts of the people who posted them. The company also says it's using photo matching technology to make sure revenge porn doesn't get reposted. It's the result of a collaboration with the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative. Kerry Goldberg serves on that organization's board and is a lawyer litigating on behalf of revenge porn victims. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ben. Happy to be here.
How big of a problem is revenge porn on Facebook and Facebook Messenger and Instagram?
Oh, it's huge. Adults historically, in most of the cases that we get, they post images onto dedicated revenge porn websites. When younger kids are doing it, it's usually through text message or Snapchat or Messenger on Facebook. And the other way that we see Facebook being weaponized is that individuals will create impersonating Facebook accounts in their ex's name and then friend all of his or her friends and then post the images.
Do you have a sense of how the photo matching part of this works?
I believe it's using like hashing and photo DNA, the same kind of technology that's used when images of child pornography are distributed. It's like each image has its own kind of personal identifying code.
Marker.
And then when that's recognized, automatically, you know, it's flagged. And Facebook has, you know, pretty comprehensive policies ever since 2015 that ban revenge porn. But again, that's a reactive thing. You can't ban an account or report images until they're already posted. But this is going to really change things. It's going to prevent the spread.
Is there a danger here that images that are important for totally other reasons, other kinds of images, might get taken down too quickly because of these tools?
Well, you know, I think that that's where the combination of automation and human assessment comes in. If it's an artwork, Venus de Milo or something, that somebody has flagged as being pornographic, then, you know, probably that wouldn't get past the human operator in these systems.
Kerry Goldberg is a lawyer who focuses on and offline harassment. Kerry, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much, Ben.
And a very different story about large platforms and video. YouTube has now launched YouTube TV, 50 live TV network channels straight to your phone or with a Google Chromecast device, your television, starting in L.A., Chicago, Philly, New York, San Francisco, $35 a month, first month free. Let me see. What does this remind me of? Oh, yeah. Cable. More and more often, big hacks have more than one target, and their creators have more than one motivation. This appears to have been true of one of the most wanted hackers in the world right now, Evgeny Bogachev. Accused of siphoning millions of dollars away from global financial institutions with malware, ding, maybe involved in Russia's apparent interference in the U.S. presidential election. Also ding, the cover story in the latest issue of Wired magazine is all about Bogachev's long, sordid story, and it was written by Garrett Graff. Garrett? Tell me about this guy.
So this guy was a phantom, the creator of one of the most notorious pieces of malware. And it was a piece of software called Zeus that became effectively the Microsoft Office of online financial fraud.
And part of this is, of course, about a botnet, right? Which is like a ton of computers that are turned into zombies that all work together for nefarious purposes. What did his botnet really do?
The botnet, exactly as you describe it, it's they were able to use this network to build basically a powerful supercomputer that they were able to direct against financial institutions in what are known as a distributed denial of service attack, a DDoS attack, that would overwhelm those financial websites with traffic and allow them basically to steal the money without notice.
So how did he start to get affiliated with more politically involved hacking?
So this is the interesting twist that the FBI uncovered as they were zeroing in on him in the spring of 2014, which is that this Game Over Zeus advanced program actually had this entirely secret component within it that Bogachev was using to spy on adversaries of Russia.
What strikes you about the state of play on the story of election hacking in the U.S. and Russia?
Part of understanding this case is understanding that these criminal efforts by people like Yevgeny Bogachev, particularly where they blur the line on international espionage, are part of what the U.S. government sees as a spectrum of Russian aggression against United States interests. That in some ways, stealing $250 million, somewhere north of that actually, from U.S. financial institutions is an attack on U.S. interests in the same way that hacking the DNC or hacking John Podesta's email is.
Garrett Graff, he wrote the article Chasing the Phantom for Wired Magazine. Garrett, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
We have posted Garrett's story on our Twitter. We are at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.